dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the men who is in the forefront of that war, I'm very pleased to say, has been for decades, but remains very much the throes of the fight for our freedoms, is John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He served in a number of other senior capacities at the State Department, Justice Department, and elsewhere. He is today a senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute and a commentator at Fox News and author in numerous other regards, including a most important memoir, Surrender is Not an Option. John Bolton, welcome back. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Glad to be with you.
You have been covering closely, I know, what has been developing in Ukraine, and just today we're seeing more evidence that the Russians are not going to allow Ukraine to break free, at least not all of it. Talk a little bit, if you would, John Bolton, about what Vladimir Putin's game is at the moment and what we should be doing about it.
Well, I think Putin has a strategy. I think he's made it clear for years that he wants to bring the former republics of the Soviet Union back under Russian hegemony. And in that regard, Ukraine is the biggest prize. It's the largest population. It was once the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. So if Putin can prevail in Ukraine, the handwriting is on the wall for all of the other republics. And I think Putin and the Russians hold some high cards. Essentially, all of Ukraine's energy supply, oil and natural gas, come from Russia. The bulk of Ukraine's external debt is held by Russia. Russia has massive military forces on Ukraine's border, and indeed some inside Ukraine at key Russian naval bases in the Crimean Peninsula. So the notion that just because the Yanukovych government has been overthrown effectively, that Putin will listen to Barack Obama and John Kerry saying that the future for Ukraine should be handled by Ukrainians, is something that must make them laugh in the Kremlin. He's very actively involved trying to tilt Ukraine back into Russia's orbit. And as I say, he holds a lot of high cards economically, politically, and militarily.
Yeah, and one might argue demographically as well. And John Bolton, I wondered if I might call up to mind with you some of the precedents where he himself and certainly other authoritarian or totalitarian figures have used solidarity with one of their own ethnic populations in Georgia, in Putin's case, the Sudeten Germans in Hitler's case, for example, to justify even military activity, let alone the kind of political and economic coercion that you're talking about. Do you anticipate that's in the future for Ukraine, starting with Crimea and the eastern part, perhaps, but maybe the whole enchilada before it's over?
Yeah, I don't see Russian military intervention at this moment, but I do, because I think Putin, for his own reasons, would like to win the game in the whole Ukraine politically. And as you mentioned, demographically, Ukraine is a very closely divided country. I think in what people have considered free and fair elections in the past, there's always some corruption, but candidates favorable to Russia have won. So it's not like this is a tiny Russian-speaking minority against an overwhelming Ukraine-speaking majority. It's closely divided. I think what Putin would like to see is something that works out that over time, when I do think he believes time works to his advantage, he can pull Ukraine back, put it under Russia's thumb.
Yeah, I fear you're right, particularly because, as you have written vociferously, I guess, he senses a weakness on the part of the Obama administration that essentially gives him complete running room on something like this. Talk a little bit about present American policies towards Ukraine and what you think our policy should be at this point.
Well, the president said before the fall of Yanukovych, you know, he doesn't see us as being in competition with Russia and Ukraine. He doesn't think of this in terms of moving pieces around on a Cold War chessboard. I mean, that is such a detached attitude that, again, it must cause laughter in the Kremlin. And it's ironic because Obama's view on that turns out to be essentially the same as Ron Paul's isolationist view. Oh, who cares about Ukraine? We don't have any interest there. I think Putin watched very carefully in August of 2008 when Russia attacked Georgia, invaded Georgia, stripped away two provinces. Then presidential candidate Barack Obama called on massive Russia and tiny Georgia, called on both of them to exercise restraint. I mean, that is the kind of classic moral equivalence, inability to see the difference between defending your territory and naked aggression. That I think Putin sees it in Obama, and he knows whatever the rhetoric coming out of the White House and the State Department, the Obama administration will do nothing if push comes to shove.
Yeah, and I think, in fact, they've used essentially the same words in this setting as well, Kerry, if not Obama himself. John Bolton is our guest. We're talking about the travails that we're finding the free world under at the moment. One other that I know, again, you've been very actively engaged in for years and years, including during your distinguished service in government, John Bolton, is Iran. It must pain you beyond words to watch the sanctions regime that you, among others, during your time at the UN, helped build, you know, brick by brick over a protracted period, being essentially shattered irreversibly, and these Europeans and Chinese and Indians and others rushing in to provide essentially life support to the Iranian regime when the bomb program is not ending, in fact. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, look, in Geneva in November, the Iranians made very superficial, easily reversible concessions on the nuclear program. And in exchange, the United States and the West gave them a huge hole in the sanctions through which you could drive a tractor trailer. And that's exactly what Iran is doing. It's not just the unfreezing of certain previously frozen Iranian funds in the West. It's opening up the spigots of international commerce again. And you see all kinds of prior oil revenues flowing back in. You see plane loads of European executives on their way to Tehran to cut new economic deals. The Wall Street Journal has reported that already the Iranian economy is stabilized. People see the prospect of normalization. So the gain that Iran got was not just the specific dollar amounts of changes in the sanctions. They made a tremendous psychological breakthrough, and especially given weak European enforcement of the sanctions to begin with, I think we've essentially given Iran the prospect of jump-starting its economy again, overcoming all the problems that the sanctions caused, and then continuing with their nuclear weapons program, which was never affected by the sanctions to begin with. So we've legitimized their uranium enrichment project, and I think they're on the road to nuclear weapons essentially at a time of their choosing.
Yeah, I'm afraid it may be a time close at hand. John Bolton is our guest. He is, among other things, the author of Surrender is Not an Option. And, John, I must say it sounds very much as though surrender is the only option that the Obama administration is pursuing in case after case. Let me ask you about one place where the president has been exceedingly assertive, however. You served, as I mentioned, not only in the UN and at the senior levels of the State Department. You were for a time a senior official in the Justice Department. What do you make of what is now being described as executive overreach by even people on the left, like Professor Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, who is warning of really a constitutional crisis as the president absconds with the kinds of authorities that were explicitly given to the Congress in Article 2 under our Constitution?
Well, it's remarkable. Even going back to the New Deal, Obama makes Roosevelt look like a piker in his effort to expand executive power. And it's clear it's because he knows he's not going to get anything more from Congress. So there'll be a lot of litigation challenging it when Obama signs new executive orders that exceed the powers that he has. But those cases take years to catch up, and Obama will probably be gone from office by the time a lot of them are finally decided. And I have to say, Congress has created part of this problem itself by writing regulatory statutes. The Environmental Protection Agency is a good example. that are vague and that clearly do delegate excessive authority to the executive branch. I'd bring back the old doctrine of excessive delegation that was last used during the New Deal to strike down some New Deal agencies. I think it's a real problem. I don't think Congress can give up its legislative functions to the president.
A great idea. They seem to be doing it with profound implications for our republic. And one of the men standing in that breach is John Bolton. We're delighted to have you with us, sir. Thank you so much for past service to our country and what you're now doing with the American Enterprise Institute, Fox News, and elsewhere. Keep coming back to us if you would. Next up, we'll be speaking with one of your former subordinates, your former chief of staff, Fred Flights, about how Russia is flexing its muscles in Ukraine and much more. Right after this.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.